something I came across in the news. The government of New Zealand has recognized a particular mountain as a person. That mountain is now perceived by the law as a person with all the rights and responsibilities of a person. I don't know exactly how that works out. Are they going to tax the mountain, give the mountain unemployment benefits? How it works out, I don't know exactly. The idea is that the Maoris consider this mountain an ancient ancestor of theirs. The Maoris are the indigenous people of New Zealand who lived there before the British arrived and decided to civilize the place. I wonder how that works out philosophically. Does anyone think about philosophy? When it's taught in the schools, Darwinian, neo-Darwinian, evolutionary theory, and Big Bang theory, I suppose. I suppose they still teach that. Which gives the idea that, it's not stated directly, but it's implicit, that life, or what we call life, what we call a person, is a combination of matter. However, cultures all over the world, before the British and others decided to civilize them, and even before the British themselves were more civilized, there was a time when the British were not civilized. They're very civilized now, aren't they? There was a time when pretty much all over the world, people accepted that life is everywhere, spirit is everywhere. The mountains, the rivers, the forests, the trees, the wind. Nowadays, we explain this by science, how all these phenomena exist. But it was understood previously that there is life everywhere. There's spirits of the wind, spirits of the mountains, spirits of the forests. You may say, well, we don't need that now. Occam's razor, we can explain it all by science. Actually, you can't explain it all by science. And even if you can give scientific explanations of earthquakes and volcanoes and this and that, it doesn't preclude the existence of life behind it all. Everything is personal. This is in accord with the Vedic worldview. Hindu, if you want to call it that, it's a relatively modern term. In the Vedic worldview, it's known that there are many gods. When we say worldview, we mean it's coming from the Veda, which actually means knowledge. So it's not just another opinion. But anyway, there are many gods. The correct understanding of Vedic knowledge is that there is the supreme God, who is Vishnu, Krishna, and there are many gods who operate within this world and various levels, gods and lower spirits, various levels. But in Hinduism, today, as through the centuries, one of the very tops, we're saying gods, but of course there are also goddesses, male and female. This has been going on since time immemorial. There are males and there are females. There are gods and there are goddesses. The top goddess in the Vedic understanding is she who controls the whole material world under the direction of Vishnu, the Supreme God. She is called Durga, Amba, and one of her very well-known names is Parvati, which means that she is the daughter of Parvat. Parvat means a mountain, and specifically, it is the name of the god of the mountain from whom Parvati was born. We'll see that Parvati, she has very beautiful human-like figure. The goddesses are mostly beautiful. Some of them, some manifestations of Durga appear very ferocious. But the form in which she is generally worshipped is very beautiful. Sri Shankaracharya has composed the Sri Saundarya Lahari, waves of beauty, to describe her. Yeah, so she's in the top five, again, according to Shankaracharya's Pantopasana system. She's in the top five of the gods and goddesses. That's Vishnu, Shiva, Durga, Parvati, Surya, and Ganesh. And yeah, everywhere we'll find, all over India. And it was previously throughout the world also. There are many Vedic temples of Parvati, she who is born from a mountain. And you may say, well, that's ridiculous. How can a human be born from a mountain? But the mountain, Parvat, has a human-like form also. The rivers also, we find in Vedic culture, Ganga, River Ganga, the British called her Ganges, Yamuna, they're all goddesses. They have human-like forms, very beautiful human-like forms. So that the mountain in New Zealand is a person is a fact which the New Zealand government has recognized. Kudos to them. Dig into it more deeply and understand this more deeply. This whole materialistic outlook that life is just a product of chemicals, your whole civilization has got it wrong. That's why you think it's okay to drill and explode and various ways torture the earth and pollute the earth and the rivers and the mountains. You don't have a right. We have a right to utilize what Mother Earth has given. The earth is also a goddess. We have the right, that's her mercy, that she provides all these things. But to torture her, to take out of the earth the oil and the metal, of course, that's also there in Vedic culture. Some mining, and that's allowed. But this gross method of totally torturing the earth, polluting, it's not civilized. Real civilization means to live peacefully, simply, by by the gifts of Mother Earth, which she gives through the agencies of her children, which include the rivers, the trees, the mountains, the wind, the air. This is the Vedic worldview. There is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and he provides everything in this material world. It is a place of suffering, but if we cooperate with Krishna's plan, then we can minimize our suffering in this material world and prepare ourselves for getting out of the cycle of birth and death. So kudos to the New Zealand government, and we request the intelligentsia down there to look into this more deeply. It's not just some condescending, far too late acknowledgement of the Maori's previous lordship over the island, which they called by another name, because they didn't think of themselves as lords. That was the whole point. They didn't think that this land is ours. They knew that we're in cooperation with all other living beings within nature. They didn't have the culture of Krishna consciousness, of understanding that above all the different levels of living beings, they're humans, they're below humans, they're above humans, various levels of gods. They didn't have the understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Both the Maoris, whatever's left of them, I doubt if there are any pure blood line of any Maoris. They're probably all mixed up now. Their culture is mostly destroyed. But for the Maoris, non-Maoris, everyone all over the world, everyone should understand. Life is the ultimate principle of life. We're living beings. When you say a mountain is a person, that means alive. It's not just a legal artifice to dub the mountain as a person. The mountain is alive. And yeah, there are all kinds of spirits, good spirits, evil spirits. And there are fairies and dragons, and it's all these kind of creatures. It's not that they're just some leftover mythology. The worldview that we're taught in the schools, grossly materialistic, is wrong. We should come to the Vedic knowledge, understand our role within this universe, our place within this universe. We're tiny living beings. We shouldn't claim overlordship over anything. We should recognize, by the grace of God, we have the mountains, the winds, the airs, the sea. Utilize them in a way that we can live in the world in a manner that we can cultivate our real spiritual consciousness, God consciousness, Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo.